Welcome to Let's Come Together with the Sex Doc. Thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate you joining me again on this journey of fun-filled conversation about all things sex and erotica. And for today, one of my very favorite topics is BDSM. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But before I get into that and what that all means, I want to put some context to the subject. I have been a therapist for over 16 years, and I've worked in sexual health, I've worked in mental health, and I've also worked in clinical research, and I've done this all over the world. For the last 10 years, however, I've really focused on sexuality in my practice, and I've worked with a range of different clients, including many who enjoy kink. So I'd like to just let you know that kink is definitely in my DNA. And kink is the umbrella term for BDSM. So when most of us hear about the letters BDSM, we think of Rihanna singing about Whips and Chains, which is actually one of my favorite songs that she's done. Or some people might think about Christian Grey and the 50 Shades, right? That's the kind of images that gets conjured up when we think about BDSM. And while there is absolutely no secret that the BDSM community is not at all fond of the 50 Shades franchise, there's absolutely no denying that the series has put kink in the spotlight to a great extent. So what is BDSM really? I would like to kind of start by giving a little bit of a breakdown. So BDSM can be broken into three subcategories. The first one is bondage and discipline. The second is dominance and submission. And then the third is sadism and masochism. So it can contain all of these elements or just one of these elements. But the most important thing about BDSM is that there's just no space for judgment. It's all about free thinking and being open, you know, open to exploring, open to excitement, open to joys and pleasures. Now, for some people, if words like submission or sadism or masochism are new to you, I totally get it. And I'm going to help you out with that. However, for many people, especially those with knowledge of BDSM, or, you know, for people who think of BDSM through films or even going on Google, the practice may sound intimidating at first. And that's really what I want to talk about in this podcast, is helping you to kind of navigate through what may be intimidating or what may be a fantasy, or it may be something that you've tried previously, but you just want a little bit more encouragement to try it again. I do want to say that it is absolutely possible to combine sex, power, and even pain in a healthy way, as long as all parties involved are communicative with each other and are explicitly providing their active consent. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. There's something that I really have to say, and I say this all the time to my clients, and I say to my friends, and I say to people who I interact with. Post-sex care is absolutely important when it comes to BDSM or any practice within the kink umbrella. And what I mean by post-sex care is that period of time where partners spend together after an intense sexual experience. So, you know, it's kind of like the downtime, it's the rosy glow after sex. But that's so critical because in order for you to engage in post-sex care, it really is for you to openly discuss how you felt during and after the activity. And this conversation that you have post-sex is really to ensure that each partner feels appreciated and each partner feels cared for. And this might differ from couple to couple. It's going to be different depending on what your needs are and what your wants are. And for some, that might include cuddling. I know personally for me, I love cuddling after sex, any type of sex. But then for others, it could be a conversation, like literally reliving exactly what was going on through your mind during sex. So play by play, what were you feeling? What were you thinking? What was going on? And that could really help to kind of solidify the experience and help people through it, you know, help you to relax, help you to build trust. There are three major points that I would like you to consider as you're listening to me on this podcast. And I want you to offer, some suggestions as well for maybe beginners who may be thinking about easing their way into a BDSM relationship, which can be so much fun. So I really don't want you guys to feel intimidated. I don't want you to feel like, oh my God, what am I getting myself into? Because the sex doc is here, and that's what I do, is to help you to feel more comfortable. So the first thing that is important for me to say is that BDSM is rooted in pleasure. So when most people hear about BDSM, they tend to associate it with general sadism. However, BDSM can be very sweet. It can be very fulfilling, very sensual, very creative. And the thing that gets lost the most in that is the understanding, the effort, and the responsibility that comes with being the dominant, or the simultaneous control and vulnerability that comes with being the submissive. So remember at the beginning, we talked about, you know, bondage and, you know, dominance and submission. So typically in a BDSM encounter, you have one person who is more dominant, who's playing the dominant role, and then we have another person who's playing the submissive role. So I'm going to repeat that because I think it's so critical to how BDSM becomes pleasurable or is pleasurable. So what gets lost the most is the understanding, the effort, and the responsibility that comes with being a dominant, or the simultaneous control and vulnerability that comes with being a submissive. In a healthy BDSM relationship, all partners aim to please each other. And the way, and in that way, the submissive sets their own boundaries. Physical abuse is an impact that is unwanted and non-consensual, and it's not just painful. So, you know, that's not what, you know, the BDSM relationship is about. It's not about physical abuse at all. So the basis of a sub-dom relationship is fulfilling your partner's needs. It's providing them with pleasure and constantly communicating to ensure that you're actually both doing well. So both the person who's, you know, pleasure should be shared by both people, whether you're in the dominant role or whether you're in the submissive role. So it's very important that that kind of is communicated. And again, that's another reason why post-sex care is so critical. Not only is it imperative that all partners feel safe and cared for, but everyone must also have a deep understanding of each other's boundaries, their comfort levels, and their sexual desires or interests. So the suggestion I have now at this point is that you really communicate with your partner before you bring any BDSM into the sexual encounter. So have a conversation, communicate your boundaries, your comfort levels, sexual desires, interests, and so on. And also, it would be very, very good to discuss who's going to play the dominant and submissive roles, and be very clear about what you're willing to try and simply what's too far outside of your comfort zone. Those are really important points. And having this talk will really strengthen your communication. It will build intimacy, and it also creates a strong sense of trust that you can let go of your inhibitions and explore some kinkier sex play, both safely and comfortably in your relationship or in your situationship. And I say that because I recognize that people describe what their experience is very differently. Some people might say they're in a relationship, others might not. So whatever you're in, you know, the important thing is to strengthen your communication, build intimacy, and create a strong sense of trust in order for you to be able to let go of your inhibition and explore in a safe and comfortable environment. So the second thing that's really important in BDSM is about trust. So dominance and submission is really all about trust. And contrary to popular belief, the submissive is never really out of control. They're never truly out of control. Many people assume that the dominant makes demands and orders all the time. And while this may happen once a relationship has been established and there's an understanding about the dynamic, there is a significant element of trust that needs to be built within the relationship, within any relationship where there's a power dynamic. And as you can imagine, being in a relationship where, or an encounter where one person is dominant and another person is submissive, there is a power dynamic there. So that's really, really important. And the other thing I want to say is that even when you're forced, and I'm using force in quotations, to do something, it should be on the submissive's own free will. There should always be an out, an exit, and safe words available. So I want to talk to you, I want to tell you an experience I had with a client. So a couple years ago, a female client came in to see me, and she had another therapist prior to seeing me. And she wanted to kind of explore, you know, painful intercourse. So that's, you know, that was her presenting issue. But in the session, we talked about her sexual experience and, you know, her sexual desires, you know, how she enjoys sex and so on. So in that, we were discussing her role as a sub. And she talked about the experience she had with a previous therapist who was also a female and a therapist. I don't know how long she was practicing for, but my client started to share that with her previous therapist about being a submissive, and she kind of liked things that was humiliating on, you know, on sort of like social norms, you know, things like being slapped around, being spit on, you know, pee. And she spoke to her therapist about it. The therapist was alarmed by this and actually stopped seeing her. The therapist said, "I can't see someone who is actively putting themselves in an abusive situation." So for the therapist, she couldn't necessarily equate what BDSM was. She didn't understand what it meant to be a sub. And in her mind, she was associating the behaviors with being abused. So she actually stopped seeing my client. Obviously, my client was very upset. She was, you know, angry, but she also felt, you know, betrayed by someone who she trusted. So I say that to say that outside of the BDSM world, things that are pleasurable and normal can seem very different. So it's not about abuse at all. It's more about placing trust in another person. It's about, you know, trusting your partner that they're going to allow you to be entirely submissive or allow you to be entirely dominant. And submissives often take on the role of surrendering control to their dominant. And that surrendering isn't the role, the power isn't being taken away, it's being surrendered. And there's a distinct difference in that. And that being said, in a healthy BDSM relationship, subs will ultimately decide when to start and when to stop. Carefully selected mechanisms like safe words provide the submissive with control and agency, and that is where the communication really comes in, because you're allowing yourself to be, you know, controlled by in a situation, but part of your agency is, these are the parameters, these are the boundaries. And a safe word is a word that's selected by sexual partners together. And when those words are used, it indicates that one partner would like to pause or stop sexual activity. And that could be for a myriad of reasons. And one of those reasons could be just perhaps the sex got too intense, or the partner is physically uncomfortable, or they're in more pain than they want to be in, or the role play may have crossed into something less desirable for that person, or perhaps they're overstimulated. But in any of the cases that I just mentioned, the partner who would like to stop can say their safe word, and the other partner would know that it is time to stop. They'll stop immediately and they'll check in. How are you doing? What do we need to do differently? That sort of thing is really important. So the third important aspect of BDSM that I want to share with you guys is that is consent. And consent is essential to the BDSM encounter. One of the greatest challenges that I see the BDSM community continually facing is the risk, you know, the kind of misrepresentation in TV and films, or, you know, maybe you see memes and so stuff like that on social media. So while the BDSM, you know, kind of context is largely associated with whips and chains and, you know, all kind of leather straps and so on, you know, you see the dungeons and all of that stuff, there are plenty of ways to really ease into it. So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. If you're sitting at home or you're maybe taking a shower and you're listening to me right now, I don't want you to feel too overwhelmed with it. I really want you to just know that there's different levels to it and there's ways you can ease into it. And one of the ways that I would suggest is, you know, and actually more than just a suggestion, I would highly recommend starting with dirty talk or sexting. So I know there's a lot of that going on right now, particularly with everyone being kind of physically distancing and more people staying at home. A lot of people are sexting. I know a lot of my clients and friends do it on a regular anyway. So I would suggest either dirty talk, when you're talking on the phone, or sexting prior to doing anything in a sexual setting. You may not know how you will react to a certain scenario or a certain phrase in the heat of the moment. So it's better to not leave it to chance and actually use that time to test the waters and figure out what really turns you on. The big thing that I hear all the time and I talk to people about is, you know, this idea of pushing the limits. And it's absolutely right. BDSM is about pushing your limits, but it's not about passing them. And I think there's a real distinction there, you know, pushing your boundaries right to the limit as opposed to crossing them might be difficult. And in all forms of sexual activity, your comfort, consent and pleasure are absolutely essential. So it doesn't matter what kind of sexual activity you're engaged in, comfort, consent and pleasure are absolutely essential, and they should always be a part of it. And it's no different in a BDSM relationship. So I want to pose this question to you as you're listening. What are the goals for each of you in this BDSM relationship? So if you have a relationship or you're thinking about getting in a BDSM one, you have to also think about the goals. Is it a habit? Is it habitual? Are you both aware of each other's boundaries and what your intentions are? Have you communicated your needs? Or have you played out scenes before? Have you played out fantasies, or, you know, have you played around or toyed around with the idea of it? Those are kinds of important things to think about. And there's many aspects to consider before you kind of dive headfirst into a power dynamic relationship. You know, the control, the lack of control can be intoxicating, but it comes with immense responsibility. So as always, you know, active consent is the key ingredient in participating in any type of sexual activity. You know, I work with sex offenders, and one of the distinct issues that differentiates a sex offender from people who have similar sexual experiences is the consent. You're doing something with someone without their explicit consent. So that's really important that the consent is there, and you should always seek that consent and actually be active in participating and giving consent if it's something you want. And before any kind of BDSM activity goes down, really openly discuss what your boundaries are and what intentions you have with your partner. So all BDSM is based on is very important concept of consent. And if you skip that consent, you know, or skip the discussions about consent and intentions, then really you risk doing significant harms to someone else, maybe to yourself, and just reduce the level of erotica, you know. And this sex is all about experiencing your highest form of pleasure with someone else, you know, in that sexual encounter. So you want to keep the level of erotica as high as you possibly can. And the way you do that is by discussing consent. So whether you're exploring kink, you know, whether you're dipping your toe into the world of BDSM for the first time, maybe you've listened and you've kind of have a few more questions. You know, maybe you've tried it and you want to try it again. You know, maybe you already have a safe word. Maybe you've thought about this extensively, or perhaps you're entering the arena of pain and pleasure, you know, and kind of pushing the boundaries. That can be sexy, and it's also incredibly healthy for you to have these thoughts and to think about this. As long as all your partners are on the same page, and they're also willing and able to provide their consent, there's absolutely nothing wrong with experimenting. And I'd say just do it all. Experiment with all forms of BDSM. Now, go out and be bold. Live your best sexual experience and really enjoy the pleasure of sex. I cannot tell you enough just how exciting it can be when you have permission. You've given yourself permission to enjoy sex to its fullest, obviously in a very healthy way. There's some people who have some unhealthy relationships with sex, and we'll talk about that in another podcast. But for now, just be well, live your best sexual experience, and enjoy. Thank you so much for joining me, and please don't forget to subscribe and share. Until next time, you have been listening to Let's Come Together with Your Ultimate Sex Doc. Thank you. Until next time.